Howdy, folks. Welcome back to Leave the Swamp, the secession podcast, where we take up the noble cause for a peaceful and friendly separation. Mal here, back with you for another lively discussion about how we're going to go about doing this. For those of you listening, welcome back, or coming back to the podcast, welcome back. For those of you new to the podcast, welcome the first time. This Mal content here, and we've gotten to a point here where there's really no reason for a state to probably stay in the federal government. Bottom line, come out right out and say it. Things have gotten pretty bad with that little partnership, and federal government can really be viewed right now as an abusive partner, abusive spouse, abusive, slave master, if you will. I mean, basically pushing us around, pushing states around, telling them what to do, which kind of really was never the original thought or format around the creation of the Union of States. The states were intended to be sovereign, and they gave up, or delegated, is probably a better word, not give up, delegated certain authorities to a central government. This one out in Washington, D.C., or Mordor, as I like to call it. And those that authority can be clawed back in, can be taken back at any time. When I say we, I'm talking about states have forgotten that and have lost their way. They no longer, the people in the states, unfortunately, have, not everywhere, but in certain areas, have gotten to the point where they think of themselves as, quote unquote, Americans first, which in reality, you know, at least I can say that for myself here in Texas, where I come from and where I'm broadcasting from, I think of myself as a Texan first, and my passport is a United States passport, but that's just to get me from point A to point B if I'm going to another country. As far as I'm concerned, I'm from Texas. You know, if someone were to ask me. But anyway, yeah, it's about time that we have this serious conversation about, does it make sense anymore to stay part of the United States and stay under the yoke of Mordor's oppression, Mordor DC's oppression? Obviously, I argue that it's long past time to go on our own peacefully, have that separation, walk away from that abusive spouse, and just go on our own way. You know, let bygones be bygones. Well, I came across a little interesting commentary that I wanted to talk about on this episode, and it has to deal with recently the New Hampshire. They have an independence amendment that's being proposed within their state. And what's interesting about this is, and I did not actually know this, that it's the 17th state to have passed, or at least to have considered and passed a resolution to consider either amending the Constitution or seceding. And I want to read this, and I'll comment about this as we go through. This comes from a blog and an email list that I think is absolutely crucial and critical for everyone out there to be a member of, or at least to be on the email list. And that is from sovereignman.com. I've been with these guys since they started. It's a lot of good information. A lot of it is, or most of it is, directed more towards how you can individually create your own freedom. Along the lines of, you know, how do I live free in an unfree world, that type thing. I've gotten a lot of great information from just reading this and being a member. I'm a member of the confidential membership there, so you'll see that if you go to sovereignman.com. I'll put the link to this in the show notes, to their website in the show notes. I'm also going to create a page on leavetheswamp.com, which I hope you guys check out on occasion. I'll make a page for recommendations, you know, recommended reading, recommended things to watch, recommended newsletters to be subscribed to, that type of thing. So I'll create that page and put it out there. This is my first, I think my first recommendation on the LTS podcast. So yeah, definitely go check it out. But again, they do a lot with, you know, what can you do individually and personally to help out with things like that, a lot of which I have done myself, and a lot of which, you know, I'm going to mention and talk about on this broadcast as well, because even though a big theme or a big, you know, push of what we talk about here is political secession, you still, in the meantime and in between everyone, it's essential to take those steps personally and individually to take care of yourself and take care of your family, do the things that are necessary to generate the maximum amount of personal and familial freedom that would allow you to fight for the political freedom that we talk about here on Leave the Swamp. So you're going to get me over time talking about more of the things you can do personally, as well as what can we do individually or, you know, on a political basis to help out with this. So let me go through this little nugget and give you an example on what actually is going on out there, you know, as far as secession goes. And this one was called a New Hampshire Independence Amendment Gets a State House Hearing. It said last week, hundreds of residents in New Hampshire packed a state house hearing on a proposed amendment to the state's constitution to, quote, peacefully declare independence from the United States of America and proceed as its own sovereign nation, end quote. Sounds like a good, good proposal there. The proposal received 3 hours of mostly favorable testimony from the public and some of the 7 state representatives who sponsored the amendment. While most of the testimony was in favor of secession, the 21 lawmakers on the Committee on State-Federal Relations voted unanimously the next morning to not recommend passing the proposed amendment. But while the lawmakers rejected the amendment, some expressed sympathy for the cause. The chairman of the committee, Representative Baldassaro, suggested he was only against the amendment because it was effective immediately and included no logistical plan for transition to separate from the U.S. He said, "Many of us believe that the federal government is a little bit out of control. We do fight them, the federal government, but there's no plan." Now, let me just stop here and take it aside. I don't agree at all, obviously, with Representative Baldassaro's assessment of the situation here. Number one, he said many of us believe the government is a little bit out of control. It's a lot of bit out of control. A lot out of control. I mean, we're way past the point of ever getting the federal government back in control. There is only one solution to this problem, and that's a peaceful and friendly separation. And then he mentions he's not for it being effective immediately because there's no logistical plan to transition to separate from the US. Well, the logistical plans would, and the discussions around those plans would happen when the amendment passes, the people vote for it, and that they agree to do it. You know, it's not because you don't have a logistical plan. Yes, I understand there are all sorts of things that have, let's say, a state like New Hampshire intertwined with everything else going on. But the thing is, something like this, you know, the alternative would be, and this is how government would work here, is, you know, if it got serious, then, of course, I'm sure the propaganda would be just outrageous coming out of Mordor and their press lackeys about how New Hampshire wanted to bring back slavery or something for seceding. But what's going to happen when, let's say they pass it, they put 5 years on to figure this thing out, Well, things will get worse over 5 years, but that's 5 years you've lost to turn the tide and to figure out and solve a lot of the problems that are foisted upon New Hampshire, as an example. Nothing would happen if they left immediately that couldn't be fixed within a period of time. Now, the people need to understand that, yeah, there may be some difficulties, but the difficulties, if there are any, especially politically, are going to come from Mordor, not from internally. That should be the focus there. Something like this needs, I hate to say it, but some sort of articulate, charismatic type leader to knock down, arguments like this on a consistent basis and say why things are won't happen, or if they do happen, it'll happen from another side. Because if this is a truly peaceful separation, then there are no reasons why things immediately, once it happens, things can't continue the way they keep going. Certain things right off the bat would stop. Tax revenue would stop going to Mordor. Mordor would stop funding and sending money and welfare back to New Hampshire. So they'd have to figure out something there to help transition that piece. But everything else, logistically, economically, business-wise, and everything, can operate under a broad spectrum treaty that says, look, just because we're not part of the United States anymore doesn't mean anything has to change as far as that goes. It's simply a relationship between the federal government and the state, where the federal government no longer has say over what happens in the state, and vice versa. The state no longer has any say, no representation beyond perhaps an ambassador at the U.S. federal government. And then you work out the details later. It's not the end of the world. Worse things have happened that humans have overcome. So I get the sentiment of wanting to have logistics laid out, but if anyone out there has started a business, you know that, you might make a business plan, but a lot of times, when you launch that business plan, then things change majorly within the first year or so. That's essentially kind of what I'm looking at here. I mean, you got to just do it and then figure it out as you go, because this is not child's play stuff, because the federal government is probably going to do everything in its power to stop this from happening in the first place. So you got to just do it. Tell them to pound sand. We'll figure it out. Pound sand in the sense that you can't stop us, and we don't need you anymore. We don't want to rely on you. We're not relying on you for anything anymore. We just want to be friends, and that's it. So anyway, I'll move on from that. Continuing, another opined quote: "I don't think that we're at a point yet that we need to withdraw from our federal government. But if the federal overreach became much worse, New Hampshire independence should be on the table." Well, much worse. What do you define as much worse? I mean, there's New Hampshire is now basically just an administrative state under a giant empire, and taking all direction and all, it's told what to do for Mordor. It has no independence at all, just like every other state. Right now, although there are pockets of where states are taking back power, they don't have any influence, New Hampshire especially, on what the federal government's going to do. So, if not now, then if you wait too long, then you may not be able to do it. And it said, continuing, another lawmaker agreed with many of the problems with the federal government, citing in the hearing testimony, including war on drugs and foreign wars. Yeah, you get out, you'll no longer be involved in that utter destruction of humanity. Let's see, what else? I'll skip down a little bit here. This is the interesting part. What makes this independence referendum different from those proposed in Texas or Puerto Rico, for example, is that the others have always been non-binding. According to one of the lawmakers in the committee, this is the first time any state legislature has officially considered binding secession legislation since they say the Civil War here. It wasn't a civil war, it was war to prevent Southern independence. And you see from the sentiments of the committee members that even though they voted against it, many of them certainly wouldn't roll it out in the future. This echoes the feeling of many Americans. Polls show that more and more people think it's time for the U.S. to consider splitting up to avoid constant political fights and even potential violence. The lawmakers who introduced this amendment and its supporters likely know that they have very little chance of it actually passing, but they have started a conversation. They're laying the groundwork so that in the future, depending on what happens with the federal government, it might not seem like such a bad idea. That's interesting. Yes, seeing as I'm in Texas, I hear that, every year there's some sort of independence referendum, but it's just a non-binding, thing. But that's the problem. What needs to happen here is binding resolutions need to be proposed, and the conversation needs to be ratcheted up to the nth level here in Texas. Because I believe Texas can be the lead in this whole thing. And imagine this, if a state like Texas, it became serious here about independence, maybe it didn't even have to get that far, because maybe that alone would be enough to push back significantly against the federal government. I don't know. I happen to not think that would be the case. But it would be worth, exploring and seeing what would happen. The fight, I think at this point in time, a state like New Hampshire seceding seems a lot more plausible than a state like Texas, where the federal tentacles and the federal fangs are so deeply ingrained here now. I mean, everything from the energy that's here that the U.S. government needs to have control over, our ports in the Gulf of Mexico, all the military industrial complex stuff here, the military bases, all this type of stuff. Not to mention the fact of, you have counties and cities like Dallas, Houston, Austin, even San Antonio to an extent, where population centers that would probably more than likely be against secession, which I've argued is not a big deal. Just kick those counties out of the state and we'll let the whole rest of the state go. They can be little city states on their own. But because there's 30 million people here, it's going to be a lot harder to have that conversation and to, to convince folks. But then again, I go back to the argument that because there's 30 million people here, I mean, and we have a giant economy, we have all these resources and whatnot, perhaps we're more better positioned right now than a state, say, like New Hampshire, that may not have all that stuff, to actually leave peacefully, separate peacefully from Mordor, go on our own day one, and not really have to be too concerned about, logistics, if you will, about leaving the United States. So it's time. It's beyond past time now to start having a binding legislation discussed for Texas. I've mentioned before that I'm gonna look into more about, what some of these representatives and senators state level around me even do, while they're in Austin. I have no idea. My family, we just moved to the area that we're in now, so I need to get familiar with a lot of these folks. And I imagine that you probably do too, where you live. Now, if you know and are very familiar with all that stuff, I commend you, because most people don't. But if you don't, take a minute, learn who your state rep and state senator is, and see how they actually vote, how long they've been there. I mean, are they career people in that spot? Does it get old boy network type thing? Be interesting to see. Where I am, a lot of people are moving here, so I think the the hold on power of some of these ingrained folks is could be tenuous, but I hope it's tenuous in the sense that if they don't come along for the ride, then we'll kick them out. If they come along for the ride, then, okay, whatever. But I hope because of all these people moving to these areas that they're not bringing their bad ideas with them, where I am, there's a ton of people from the left coast, California. We got, I guess, the refugees from California. Hopefully, maybe some of you listening right now, you fall into this category. I just hope you folks coming from California and you Yankees from up north coming down here, you're coming down here for the right reasons, to be free, to be independent, because you've always had a independent kind of Texas mindset, no matter even if you were born and raised way up north or something. Come down and join the fun for a peaceful and friendly separation down here. We'd be glad to have you. Just don't come down here and bring all the garbage that you're fleeing from California and Oregon, Washington, New York, Illinois, all the other destructive leftist bastions from up there. You gotta come down here, and we'll have our peaceful discussions and political fights down here in Austin rather than way over in Mordor, D.C. Down here, we can actually maybe know each other a little better, and maybe there's things we can get along with. As long as we all agree that, look, let's live and let live. That's going to be a key for any state, really, if they decide to leave the union, that they don't continue the bad policies that essentially brought everything to this point where it's time to leave. These horrible policies out of the central government in Mordor are destroying this country as a whole. And the whole impetus and the thrust behind what I talk about here is we've got to get out before we're dragged down to the depths of the oceans with the whole shebang, with the whole DC cabal, because they will drag everyone down, whoever is still part of it, when that happens, when the ship finally sinks, you'll be dragged down with them. And now's the time for a state, and hopefully it's my beloved Texas, to say no more. It's time for us to go on our own way. You go your own way, we'll go our own way. So this is encouraging to read about other states having done this. Again, there's something like, what does it need? 2/3 of states to call a constitutional convention. And 17 have passed something along these lines, which means we need 34. Is it 2/3 or 1/3? Let's see. Maybe it's just 1/3. Where does it say that? Da, 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 da. Well, where was I reading that? Oh, that was in another article, I think, somewhere. Let's see. I did read that. Yes, it's... maybe I'll get back to you on that. See? How embarrassing. I don't even know that. Again, what I'm trying to do here in this podcast is have these conversations more or less real time while I'm learning along with you about what we need to do to see about getting this done, right? Now, I'm not really advocating a constitutional convention at all. I'm saying let's get out now. But just for interesting's sake. Let's see. Anyway, maybe it was 1/3. Because they said 17 states and it was halfway there, so 34. No, that's 2/3. Duh. 50 states. Idiot. I was thinking the senators. I don't know why. Because the Senate typically requires 2/3 and 3/4 to do all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Well, and maybe my head was talking about the Senate, because the Senate was what was created to represent the states at the federal government. Because the senators, unfortunately, now are popularly elected, but they were originally, appointed by the state le legislatures as the legislature's representative at in Washington. And each state had two, so each state had the same amount of voice in the Senate. And the Senate acted as a check on the House, the power of the House of Representatives, which was more population, based, because, the Congress allocated seats based on a population in the states. So it was more a little more democratic process in that sense, even though we don't have a democracy here. Whenever someone says that, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It's a representative republic. But so yeah, the Senate was that representative, and that was abdicated back in 20 or 1917, I believe, when the 17th Amendment was passed, which was a horrible, horrible amendment, making the senators popularly elected. That was a destructive thing on the point of the state. Like, that's actually probably the most amazing amendment ever passed in my mind, because the states did not fight hard enough to prevent that from happening, because they lost their control over the federal government that way. What little control they had left, I should say. So anyway, no, it'd take 34 states to do that, and 17 have done it so far. I don't know if they're counting plays like Texas, which is a non-binding resolution, but anyway, it's point remains very interesting, and I think we'll stop with that little discussion about New Hampshire. Good for them, good for these other states. It's encouraging, but we need to keep it up. And if you're listening, you got this far, I appreciate it. I hope you're one of the 300. I hope you, in your mind, at least, have committed to being one of the 300, and you mentioned that word secession to whenever it comes up, when it's appropriate to bring it up in a conversation with folks. We got to start planting that seed wherever we possibly can. Be one of those 300. Be that 1% here in Texas, and let's get this thing done. Sooner rather than later. It's very important to take care of yourself personally. Make sure you're protected, your family's protected, you're as independent as possible in your daily life. But it's also, I think, there's something to be said about, trying to make where you are, and politics will never go away. So I'm trying to make that better for yourself, but not even for yourself, maybe for your kids and their kids, So that's kind of like two paths there. The first path is yourself. You got to do that first. But then, if you can get a little bit done there, let's start dipping into trying to figure out, on a political basis, how to get that done. Okay? So, anyway, thank you for listening. This is Mal signing off on this episode of Leave the Swamp, the Secession Podcast. Thanks, and I'll catch you on the next one.